All right, before we get to the rest of our news, let's talk a little sports here. We've been a while since we've had our 98Q sports reporter, Mike Clemens, with us. Mike, good morning to you.
How are you, Joe?
I'm doing good, thank you. A late night last night for the crew. They're out on that West Coast. You were mentioning to me a little bit in an email about this game getting over late. I was reminiscing this morning about the old days when baseball games went 4 hours, laying in bed with my transistor radio till 1 o'clock in the morning listening to games out on that West Coast. But not the way we wanted that game to end last night, though.
No, you know, you're right. And, you know, just because the game where I got over at 11:40 and then I'm on the air with you and, you know, our sister stations about 5 hours after that, I shouldn't be complaining. Because you know something? When I started out, I got hired as I was about 22. I'd been working at TV 18, which was the flagship for the Bucks and the Brewers back in the 70s and 80s, you know, on five different states down in Milwaukee. And so I'd been hired out to direct this morning news show, and I'd get in about 4 o'clock, and I came in, and there's all this commotion, like, what's all these cars in the parking lot? And I walked in. They're still doing the Brewers game. Oh. It was a West Coast game. It got, like, to the 17th inning or so. These guys are still, like, I got to get ready for this news show. Like, well, they're shrugging their shoulders. What do you want us to do, man? Game's not over with. Finally, it ended, like, at 4:30 in the morning, but, you know, yeah, I know what late nights with Brewer games used to be like that. But, yeah, this pitch clock, it's changed the game. It's changed the game in so many ways. You know, when you listen to Uecker now, he can hardly get through a story because it's like 1, 2, 3, they're out, and they got to take a break.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's no time in between pitches. You know, he has to shorten a story, and it's like you can feel how kind of compressed the game is. They read a commercial, and they're back to call and play-by-play. There's not much time for chat.
It's moving along, but the Brewers continue to do well, stacking up a few injuries here and there. But is the rest of the division just not very good? Is that a good way to describe the rest of that?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the Cubs are really in trouble. I mean, there was a guy who said, you know, maybe the Cubs should have kept David Ross as manager and used Craig Counsell's money to get a closer.
That's a good point.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
There was a stat that there's only 4 teams in the National League so far this year that actually have winning records. But, you know, they're all kind of bunched in together. You know, they're kind of beating on each other. And it's really kind of the parity that everybody likes to see out of the NFL you see in baseball right now. There's, you know, the Dodgers are dominating. The Phillies are good, although they've lost 6 of their last 10 or so.
Yeah.
So, you know, that whatever, for me, I have found that these Brewer games get more entertaining every single night.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat Murphy is fun to talk to.
Yeah.
And he does little jokes, and he plays little tricks and stuff like that. Like Snoop Dogg showed up to the game last Saturday night. He was in the rapper. He was in Milwaukee to open up a brand new concert stage there that Saturday night. First person to do a concert there, I believe. So the genius marketing guy that he is, he showed up to the ballpark, go through the press box. He's taking selfies with, you know, all the guys, and he goes in the booth with Brian Anderson and Bill Schrader and does some play-by-play for a while. And it was really fun to, you know, to listen to on TV. And you know, he's just so smart at you know, getting involved like that. So then he threw out the first pitch.
Oh, really?
And there's this Quentin Berry is the first base coach, who's doing a really good job with these base runners. Oh, they're like second in the league in stealing bases. He'll usually be the guy, because he's out there, he's available. He'll get behind the plate when they have these celebrities or, you know, former soldiers or whatever throw out the first pitch. And so he's like all excited. He's going to get to catch Snoop. And then Murph, or one of the other coaches, went up to him and says, hey, you know, Barry, listen, man, Contreras is going to catch Snoop. He wants to do it. So, and he's like really disappointed. So part of the practical joke is then they had Snoop stand there and put up an argument. He says, wait a minute, man. If Barry doesn't catch me, I'm not throwing out the first pitch. You know, all these pranks that they're constantly pulling on each other, keeping that clubhouse light, and they're winning ball games. Except for last night, they got behind 4-1, ended up losing 7-6 on a walk-off home run against San Diego.
Coach Murphy's demeanor in the post game reminds me a lot. I'm a Twins fan of Tom Kelly back in the days. He reminds me a lot of Tom Kelly in the post game. Is that you feel the emotion of, like a fan feels when they ask Coach Murphy about the game, and just said, "Well, you can't walk the leadoff guy, and you can't throw back-to-back home runs on 0-2 pitches." And he just like wears that emotion of a fan. It seems like.
Well, you know, Craig was a very analytical guy. I think he has got good people skills. He seemed to get a lot out of guys. He seemed to be good at managing, you know, these guys in terms of resting them and all that kind of thing. But this Pat Murphy, man, you know, he was always the glue guy for that clubhouse. So he'd been there 9 years. He knew all these guys coming up. And I don't know. There's something about him just kind of rolling out the bats and balls. You know something? You know, there was another guy who when I first started out that I covered, that he's kind of reminded me of, named Harvey Keene, mm-hmm. when they went to the World Series.
The Wallbangers, yeah.
Just let these guys play, man. Just let them play and keep it light. And, you know, he might have made a bad decision last night or two when he Sal Frelick was up. And they had bases loaded, and I think it was two outs. And they could have had a chance to take the lead in the game last night. At the last second, he was, hey, you know what? I'm going to hold Sal. Let's put in Gary Sanchez, because he's two or three times he's delivered in this position late in the game. Well, he ended up striking out, and they once again wasted bases loaded and a chance to score in that position. Yeah. He's made very few bad pitching or batting changes like that I can name so far this season. He's done a pretty good job managing.
Yeah, all right. Bucks NBA draft coming up here. I'm assuming that Dame and Giannis are back next year. So what are they leaning toward? Any word of what they're leaning at here?
Well, I don't know. I think the kind of player they've got to get ones that helps them on defense. You know, a Patrick Beverley type of player and probably another shooter. I mean, everybody's looking for something like that. They've got the 23rd and the 33rd pick. And the guys who cover the Bucks say, I don't think they're just going to trade these things away or trade away. I think that John Horst actually is going to use that 23rd maybe to get a player of significance. The second one, he may either flip or they, you know, if you want to, if there's a deal out there where some player you think you can pick off a team that is probably going to be a seller this year, you can draft those two guys. And if you get it done before, I think it's July 14th, you can trade away these two draft picks that you just made without having to pay them. You know, and they can sign up with their new team, and you could pull a veteran from some other team in the league that might be interested in those two players you just drafted. So I could see that kind of scenario happening.
Yeah, well,
the draft is next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then the story we're talking about this morning about the L.A. Lakers and who they have hired to replace Darvin Ham,
J.J. Redick,
come back to Milwaukee. J.J. Redick, he's the guy's a jerk, Joel.
Oh, really?
He was in the league for 15 years. There's a reason he was on six different teams, including the Bucks. Never the Lakers. But this guy, you know, he was a great player. He's been an analyst on ESPN the last couple of years. But he's never played for the Lakers, and he's never coached. The only team he's coached was his son's youth basketball.
Yeah, youth basketball.
And that's
yeah.
the Lakers' new hire, which is just weird.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, is that the type of personality it takes now in the NBA to just have that hard skin and just, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if Jeannie Buss made the hire or LeBron.
He wasn't their first choice, right? Hurley was their first choice.
And how embarrassing to be, even though the guy's a national champ, how embarrassing to be turned down by a college coach.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they, I think some people were saying, you know what, their offer was too short. It should have been a bigger offer for bigger money if they're going to pull him out of the UConn job.
I heard an interview with Hurley where he had no intention of taking the job, but then they asked him, they said, well, was there a number that would have made you go? And he said, well, everybody has their number.
Everybody has a number. Everybody has a number. You know, like they just, Monty Williams got fired from the Pistons. and he got fired from his last job now too, and he still got like 5 years and $65 million for coaching what ended up, and he's a good coach.
Throw away
They've got a crappy roster. He's walking away with $65 million for not working.
So much
it's
money.
Unbelievable.
The international money in the NBA is just crazy, Mike. Just crazy.
It is.
It's the contracts, the billions of dollars that come in from those foreign TV contracts. Crazy. All right, Mike, always good to talk to you. We look forward to having you on again next week, okay?
Thanks, Joe. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Clemens, our 98Q sports reporter. Good stuff. He joins us Fridays at this time to talk all things Wisconsin sports.